Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 3 is going to be our text. It says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." No confidence in the flesh. Now, did you know that we should never have an opinion on the Word of God? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? We should never have an opinion on the Word of God. There are so many buildings and there are so many preachers, and they can all hold the same Bible, but they're all different. Why is that? Why are there so many differences? Here's the answer. Opinion. We should never have an opinion on the Word of God. God wrote what He means. We read it. We hear it. We believe it. Somebody might say, "Well, what's your opinion on election?" I don't have one. I don't have one. God said, "I didn't choose him. He chose me." He said, "I'm elect according to the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world." And if he says I'm elect, then I'm his elect. "Well, what's your opinion on limited atonement?" I don't have one. I don't have one. If he says that he died only for his elect, then he died only for his elect. I don't have an opinion about it at all. It wouldn't matter if I did. "Well, what's your opinion about predestination?" I don't have one. God said, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Well, what about total depravity? I don't have an opinion about it. God said, "I'm dead in my trespasses and sins." And if God said I'm dead, then I'm dead. I'm dead. Some people might say, "Well, I know God said we're dead in our trespasses and sins, but clearly he didn't mean that." Here's my take on it. Well, if we're about to hear my take on it, then we are about to hear some error. We're about to hear something false. Error comes from not listening to God's Word, but instead listening to man's opinion on God's Word. Did you know that? That's where all error comes from. With so many differences out there, how can we know we're right? One man studies God's Word and says he believes one thing. Another man studies God's Word and says he believes something else. How can we know we're right? Do you want to know the answer to that? I do. Am I really one of his? Really? Somebody will say, "Well, you know, we all believe differently, but we're all going to be together in the end." That's not what God's Word says. Not at all. That's man's opinion on God's Word. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Am I really one of His? How can we know? Well, look at our text with me in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3 says, we are the circumcision. What does He mean, the circumcision? He means the people of God's covenant. That's what He means. God gave Abraham and his seed circumcision. It's a cutting away of the flesh as a sign, as a token to them that they were His people, His chosen, His elect, His redeemed. Somebody might hear that and say, so everybody that's been circumcised by a doctor is a child of God? No. If fleshly circumcision was the sign, then no women would be saved, right? Turn over to Romans chapter 2 with me. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew. Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ is the King of the Jews. And it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. God has called his people the circumcision for one reason only. Christ Jesus came into the world. God was manifest in the flesh. Christ took upon himself the flesh of a man. And then for the sake of his people, he was cut off. In his flesh, he was cut off, separated from God. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 51, the Lord said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The world. Somebody will say, well, there it is, the world. You say you don't have an opinion, but you say you believe in limited atonement when God wrote it right there, the world. What do you have to say about that? Here's what I have to say about it. I don't have a problem with that at all. That's my hope of salvation. Thanks be to God, this gospel goes to the whole world. The actual Jews think this gospel is only unto the physical nation of Israel. But the good news is, it's not just to one nation. It's not just to one tribe. It's not just to one kindred, one tongue. It's not just to the Jews. It's to the Gentiles too. That's you and me. Gentiles. I don't have a problem or an opinion on that at all. I love exactly what he's saying. Exactly what he's saying. Go with me over to John 17. John chapter 17, look at verse 6. Our Lord said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine. Am I really one of his? When he became flesh, was he really cut off for me? Isaiah wrote he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, was he stricken. Am I really one of his people? Am I really in his covenant? Am I really one of the circumcision? I need to know that. Well, turn with me back over to our text in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Three things expose sinners as being the children of God. Three things expose sinners as being in the covenant of Christ. Three things. Number one, they worship God in the Spirit. Number two, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. And number three, they have no confidence in the flesh. Now listen to this. A person who worships God in the Spirit and rejoices in Christ Jesus, what that means for Jesus to be the Christ, but puts a little bit of confidence in the flesh. What does that mean? It means I'm trusting in what I have done. I'm trusting in my works. I'm trusting that at least I've done this or at least I've done that. A little bit of confidence in the flesh. A person who worships God in the Spirit and rejoices in Christ Jesus, but puts a little bit of confidence in the flesh. That person can't have any assurance that he belongs to Christ. He cannot have any assurance that he belongs to Christ. Three things expose sinners as being the children of God. Now listen to this. A person who worships God in the Spirit and puts no confidence in the flesh. Zero confidence. It's not in man's works. But does not rejoice in Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, 100% God and 100% man, the God-man. A person who does not rejoice in Jesus being the Christ can't have any assurance that he belongs to Christ. And a person who rejoices in Christ Jesus, a person who says, "I believe he's God," and has no confidence in the flesh, it's not by works, but does not worship God in the Spirit, that person can't have any assurance that he belongs to Christ. The text, Philippians 3, verse 3 says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, I want to examine myself. Am I really one of his? I need to know this. I've got to know the answer to this. How does a person worship God in the Spirit? How does a sinner do that? Turn with me over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, our Lord says in verse 22, "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Let's start with how a person can't worship God. He said, "You worship, you know not what." A person can't worship God who has no idea who God is. A person who is happily, blindly sitting somewhere where lies are being told and the flesh is being pumped up cannot worship God in the Spirit. Somebody might say, well, that's a pretty bold statement. Is it? Our Lord just told that woman at the well, you go to church, but you have no idea what you worship. I would love for all preachers who do not preach the Word of God in its entirety, who do not preach Christ alone, who do not preach grace alone for salvation, I'd love for them to get a hold of the fact that they preach, but they have no idea what they worship. This sounds hard, but it's the truth. Our lives are on the line. We might go meet God today. Somebody listening to this might be in their car. A car accident, or should I say on purpose, might be for any one of us today. Our lives are on the line. Our souls are on the line. We're going to go meet God. I've got to know the truth. I've got to know the truth. Some preachers are telling people, well, we worship the greater good. We push for the goodness of humanity. We worship God, whoever he or she may be. Well, listen to what our Lord said in John 4, verse 22. He said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How does a person worship God in the Spirit? First of all, he has to know who God is. Do I know who God is? Do you know who God is? The God of Scripture? Not the God of our imagination. Not the God we've made up. Not the one that we like. The one that doesn't offend us. God as he has revealed himself in his Word. Do we know that God? Not just do we know of him. Do we know what he's like? Do we know just how holy he really is? Do we know how strict his justice really is? Do we know the level of righteousness he demands to be in his presence? If you do, do you love all those things? Do you love all those things? The dictionary says worship is intense love and admiration. Absolute adoration. Adore. I adore. It means great honor, respect, reverence, and praise. Worship is thought consuming. Worship is affection consuming. It's your true heart's desire. Do you worship the one and only creator and ruler of the universe, God? The actual very God? Worship is humbling. I must bow. You must stand. John said, and all true believers say with John, he must increase. I must decrease. If I don't worship the ground he walks on with my soul, in spirit and in truth, then I can't have any comfort that he has revealed himself to me. that He's chosen me and called me unto Himself. Because any person who sees Him as He is will bow the knee and worship the ground He walks on. Go with me back over to Philippians 3. Verse 3 says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus." Do you know who God is? Christ Jesus. People will have anybody in their mind and in their heart be God, but Jesus Christ. God kills. He made that clear in His Word. God is sovereign. We don't let Him do anything. We bow the knee to whatever He says. But you tell people that Jesus is this God? Life and death is in His hands? Salvation is in His hands? He has mercy on whom He will, and whom He will, He hardeneth. You tell people their fate, their life, their hope, their outcome is in His hands, at the mercy of His hands. You tell people the truth in God's Word, and they will hate you for it. And they will hate the God you're telling them about. They say, "Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus wouldn't put anybody in hell." Well, turn with me over to John chapter 5. John 5 verse 22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Judgment is coming. And it's in the hands of the Son of God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, He says, "I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Call His name Jesus. Call His name Emmanuel. Because in this man, God is with us." The Lord Jesus Christ is not a weak martyr who tried and failed. He is the High King of heaven, high and lifted up. Now, let me ask you this. As we hear the truth about Him, and that is the truth about Him. As we hear the truth about Him, does that cause our hearts to reject Christ Jesus or rejoice in Christ Jesus? Rejoice means to be happy, to glory in. We rejoice, don't we? We rejoice because the actual God, the High Judge of the earth, is our help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He holds the keys of hell and death. And if he be for us, who can be against us? That's something to rejoice over. We rejoice in him, don't we? Go with me back to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3 says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." No means none. None at all.
Not one ounce. No confidence. Confidence means firm belief. It means trust, assurance, self-reliance. No confidence in the flesh, in this body, in its ability. I cannot do anything to earn heaven. I have no confidence in my flesh. No confidence in the purity of this flesh. This flesh is not worthy to stand in God's presence. There is nothing good that dwells in me. No confidence in the flesh. Can we get ourselves to God? No. Are we worthy to come to God? No. Is there anything we can do to make ourselves acceptable in His sight? No. Where is all of our confidence? It's in Jesus Christ. That's where it is. It's in Jesus Christ. The song says, "My hope is built on nothing less." Nothing more, nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Don't tell me what a good person I am. I do want to strive to be kind to others and be what the world would call a good, upstanding citizen. I do. But I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Don't tell me, don't waste my time telling me how good I am and how much God needs me. My God doesn't need me. My God is self-sufficient. And He doesn't need a vile sinner for anything. Don't tell me that. He says in the song, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely, totally lean on Jesus' name. My hope is built on the fact that He's the Savior of sinners. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." If I can say that from the depths of my soul, in truth, worshiping, loving, and adoring God for who He is, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what He has done, then based on the Word of God, I'm one of His. That's the best news I know. And if you can say from the depths of your soul, in truth, worshiping and loving and adoring God for who He is, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done, and based on the Word of God, you are one of His. You are one of His. And we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord God bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.